Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host. And we begin with a conversation with our colleague, Ann Stevenson Yang, who is in Taipei, Taiwan, in the midst of what continues to be a standoff between the United States and its allies and the People's Republic of China over the correct understanding of Taiwan's future. I read this headline that seems relevant to the contest within these last hours. Chinese ship severs undersea cables around Taiwan. Taiwan has accused a Chinese-owned ship of severing a critical data cable off its northern coast Friday last. Officials in Taipei discovered that 4 cores of an international submarine cable, which transmits data to America's AT&T, were left ruptured on January 3rd. Surprisingly similar to questions raised about a Chinese ship with a Russian captain in the Baltic severing a cable into the Scandinavia when Finland remains investigating. Odd business. And a very good day to you in Taipei. I'm presuming your data has not been disrupted and we're having a good conversation. How is the how is the weather in Taipei these days? And I don't just mean climate weather, I mean the political weather. Good day to you.
Good day. Well, I would say that both are very pleasant compared with the U.S. So the weather here is sort of in the 60s, very balmy, you know, sunny, whereas at home it's sub-freezing. And politically, you know, everybody asks me, John, when I say that I'm in Taipei, they all ask, oh, are you scared that China's going to invade? Nobody here talks about that. Nobody here thinks about that at all, I would say. And I would be more concerned about being in other countries in Southeast Asia than in Taiwan.
Well, I want to understand this. Does that mean that I'm exaggerating the threat that these remarks out of Beijing are dismissed in the place where Beijing is pointing?
Well, I think it's kind of like when there's an earthquake in the country where you live, everybody calls you and asks whether you're okay, even if the earthquake is 3,000 miles away. It's not that there's no threat to Taiwan. And I think that the threat is as you mentioned, it's about small incursions by China rather than a massive invasion. But I would say that Taiwanese people have other types of concerns and tend to get on with their lives.
And this news about a severed cable that will be shrugged off as just business and who knows whether it was on purpose?
Oh, of course it was on purpose. I think this sort of harassment goes on all the time. The you know, formation, the flying formations, the menacing actions like cutting the cable. But it hasn't had any effect that I have been able to discern yet.
Gordon, a very good day to you. Do we exaggerate the threat to Taiwan reporting here in the United States as compared to Taipei? Your opinion, Gordon?
No, but I think that Americans don't understand the real threat and they are not comprehending what could happen. I think that it is extremely unlikely that China would start hostilities with an invasion of the main island of Taiwan. The Chinese people wouldn't put up with it, but also because Xi Jinping is not prepared to trust his military. And he would have to do that. He would have to give some general or admiral almost complete control over the Chinese military. And that would make that figure the most powerful person in China. And Xi Jinping is not prepared to do that. Yep. Xi Jinping, however, is prepared to these low-level provocations, which Ann just talked about. And I think that Xi Jinping is overconfident in his ability to control escalation. Also, you could have provocations elsewhere, as Ann talked about. And they would spread to Taiwan. So the threat is there. It is great. but it's not the threat that we as Americans and foreigners focus on.
You have a question for Anne, Gordon.
Anne, what did you think of what I just said?
I think that's exactly right, Gordon. I think that that analysts generally focus much too much on the competence of Xi Jinping's military and how many weapons it has and whether it has naval capabilities. And that isn't the issue at all. Political control is an important issue, but also there won't, I think it's very unlikely that there will be a decision to, you know, directly invade because, you know, China would be like the dog that catches the car after chasing the cans. You know, what would they do with a ground war against people they consider their own people for 20 years? And it's worth noting for the rest of the world, although China keeps denying this, that China has never actually held the territory of Taiwan.
And about the economy of both states, Taiwan and China, the information that China's economy is in poor shape and Taiwan has a large investment in China. And I believe my memory 20 years ago was that the Taiwanese courts are used by outsiders who've invested in Chinese prosperity because they have recourse, which they wouldn't have on the mainland. Is that relationship still intact? The integration of the Taiwan economy with the Chinese economy? And is everybody feeling poorly?
Well, the integration has Taiwan has been slowly decoupling, partly by intention and partly by necessity, since I would say the peak was around 2012 or so, when there would have been, you know, like 300,000 Taiwanese working only in the IT sector in the Shanghai area. Taiwan and China are deeply, deeply interconnected in the IT sector. A lot of that has backed off since that time.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Anne, with people in, I know you haven't been there that long, but just general impression, with people not worried about an invasion from China, what are they concerned about? What are they talking about? What is engrossing them?
What people in Taiwan are concerned about is what everyone, I think, is concerned about. Housing prices are much too high. Salaries are too low. Affordability is very difficult. People are worried about bread and butter issues, not really about the broad political international situation. Their politics are very much focused on domestic issues like that. And the Taiwanese economy is doing a lot better than the mainland economy, but it's not tremendously strong.
And the Chinese threat, all right, it's not going to be an invasion. It won't look like Omaha Beach. And yet China each day is reported as looking to undermine credibility in the Taipei government. Is that happening, Anne?
I don't think that the efforts to undermine credibility are particularly successful. There is a lot of new focus in Taiwan on moving the tech sector away from dependence on China. So, for example, you see Taiwan Semiconductor building three new fabs in Arizona as quickly as they can in order to protect its chip making capacity from the mainland.
So this is TSMC is the vulnerability, and they're looking to, in some way, anticipate aggression.
That's correct, because TSMC is responsible for about 95% of the high-end chips in the world that are manufactured.
Gordon, we have a minute.
And what are people thinking about William Lai, the president?
Well, I do think it's interesting that that support for the mainland and for sort of unity with the mainland is virtually nil in Taiwan these days. There is a lot of dissension against Lai Ching-te and the economy that he's building, but it's not a dissension that's focused on uniting with China.
Anne Stephenson Yang, the author most recently of Wild Ride, the story of the Chinese, a miracle on its way up and on its way down. Gordon Chang, I'm Gordon G. Chang.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.